just giving God the glory and the honor and the praise. Listen, those of you who are in the building, come on, let's give the Lord a hand praise, amen, for he is good. Give me a little more volume when you get a chance, Brother Thomas. And listen, come on, let's stand on our feet, amen, as we offer a prayer this morning and just bless his holy name on today. Come on, y'all better shake yourself, get loose, whatever you need to do, amen. It's a beautiful day outside. The leaves are changing, they blowing in the wind. It's 68, 70 degrees in the middle of October, the end of October. We got to give God some glory and some thanks for all that he is doing in the midst of our lives. So come on, let's lift him up this morning in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, God, to give you all the praise, God. We come to bless you this morning. We come to magnify you, Father God. We come to tell you thank you on today, God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to come into your presence, God. We thank you for your love, for your grace, for your kindness on today, Father God. And Lord, we just ask that you will come and minister, God, in the midst of this service on today, Father God, that your presence, your power, your glory, God, and your anointing and shall move freely in this place on today, God. Lord, we welcome your power this morning, God. We welcome your authority on this morning, God. We welcome your presence of your glory to saturate this place on today, God. Lord, we need a touch from you on this morning, God. We need a touch of your power on today, Father God. A touch of your deliverance on today, Father God. That healing will be made manifest in this place on today, God. That no sickness, no illness, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling, Father God. And we lose life in this place, God. We lose hope and peace on today, Father God. That your Holy Spirit will move and reign like never before, Father God. Lord, release your grace today, God. We release your mercy on today, Father God. That the power of your word will go forth mightily in this place on today, God. That the praise and worship shall go forth, God, in a mighty way on today, Father God. That your people, God, we shall be open, God, and ready to receive your word, God. Ready to receive your praises on today, Father God. That your presence will fill us up like never before, Father God. Lord, do it for your glory on today, Father God. We release your anointing, God. Lord, we speak blessings on today, Father God, that you will strengthen, God. You will uplift those who are in a place, God, of depression, God. Those who are dealing with anxiety and worry and stress on today, God. Lord, we release your anointing, God. We release your favor, Father God. We release your strength on today, Father God, that you will touch, God, that you will deliver like never before, Father God. And Lord, we come to surrender this morning, God. We surrender our all over to you on today, God. That, Lord, your word is moving in this place, God. Your presence is flowing in this place, God. And that you will bless us, God, above abundantly and, God, exceedingly above all we can ask or think according to the power that working in us on today, God. And, Lord, we thank you on today, God, that we come to praise you, Father God. That we come to exalt you, Father God. We come to lift you up and magnify your holy name on today, God. And as the sound comes, as we come to lift you up, Jesus, God, you are worthy of the praise, God. You are worthy of the glory, God. You are worthy of the honor, God. And we come together on one accord to bless his name, to honor his name, to exalt him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I need somebody that's really grateful, that's really excited, that's really great, excited about the goodness of the Lord to give God some praise in this place. I dare you to lift your voice. Come on, lift your voice on today. Give me a little bit more volume on this mic. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, let's lift him up. He is worthy to be praised. Come on, let's magnify him, for he is worthy. As the sound comes.
your goodness, merciful unto us all.
Hallelujah. God, we're so grateful this morning. We're so thankful to be back in your presence, oh God. And God, have the opportunity to worship you, oh God. And so, God, we're grateful that we know that you made a way, God. When it felt like our back was against the wall, when we couldn't see our way out, oh God. God, somehow we made it over. Hallelujah. It may not have been easy, but you on the other side of that thing. Hallelujah. When you felt like you were drowning, you were going to give up, you weren't going to make it, you were going to die, but look at you now. You're yet standing. Hallelujah. And God, we love you so much for standing power on today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Y'all going to have to help us on this morning to sing this thing. Is that all right? Just think about one thing that you know that you were in and you couldn't see your way out. And now you're out of that thing and you say, Lord, you made a way. Even if you in that thing right now, I decree and declare, you just confess, Lord, you made a way. God will open doors for you. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. All over the room. Here we go. You made a way. Yes. You
made a way.
You made a way.
worship him. Hallelujah, worship him. Mountains are moving, strongholds are breaking. Mountains are moving, strongholds are breaking. Mountains are moving,
all over the room.
Strongholds are breaking. Mountains are moving.
Come on, strong.
Strongholds are breaking.
One more time, mountain.
Mountains are moving.
Hey,
strongholds are breaking. Mountains are moving.
Because he moves mountains. He calls walls to fall. He breaks chains. And guess what, y'all? He performs miracles. Oh, my God. I thank God he performs miracles. Amen. He is a miracle-working God. Amen. We give God glory. We thank God for the praise team. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, I appreciate Brother Joseph. Amen. He called him up on the spot. Amen. He was ready to go forth and sing. So we thank God for having a ram in the bush, amen. Thank God for our band, amen. And some people are out sick today, but thank God for Brother Jeremy, Brother Isaiah. I'm telling you, God is good, amen. It's a blessing to have musicians. And I want to say this, Brother Jeremy, I appreciate you, man, because he drives all the way from Salt Village. That's a nice ride, amen. I used to live in Steger and go to church on 68th and Halsted. It was 50 miles one way. So I understand when you travel, you have to do things to get here, and it's traffic and construction on 80. So I'm telling you, I thank God for you, man of God, for your sacrifice, your time, and coming from Salt Village. Some of y'all stay across the street and won't get up. Amen. I'm just telling the whole truth. Amen. You can get mad if you want to. It's just the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. We give God glory. And he goes and plays with another service. Amen. And I appreciate Pastor Wendell Martin. Amen. And just gracing us to... we can share him, amen, in this season and in this time, amen. Listen, y'all, it's about the body of Christ, amen. We're all in this thing together, amen, to build up the kingdom of God. So we're grateful on this morning. Listen, we're going to move right along in our service. I'm grateful and thankful, so we're going to move forward in our tithes and offering. Amen. That's a good place to give God some glory. Amen. Giving is a blessing. Amen. He says, give and it shall be given back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give into your bosom. Amen. So we believe God. And he said he loves a cheerful giver. Amen. He said, give as the Lord has purposed in your heart. Amen. Don't give under obligation, under pressure. Amen. But give as freely as God has given you in your heart to give. Amen. Don't let nobody get you in a point of pressure and putting you in a position. No, you give what the Lord gives you. I don't care if it was a $50 line, a $100 line. If the Lord only told you to give 25, then you give 25. Amen. And thank God anyhow, amen, that you can yet be a blessing to give. And if you may not have it to give, you say, God, I'm believing you for increase and overflow, because next time I'm going to be able to give. Amen. Those of you all who need an envelope in the building, please raise your hand. Thank God for Brother Terrence. Amen. Brother Terrence will supply you with an envelope. Those of you all who are watching online, you can go to our website, www.newncwc.com. Y'all done messed me up. Go to our website, www.newncwc.com. Some of y'all, I'm messing it up this morning. It's going to get it. It's going to be all right. Go to the website. You'll find it. Type in New Covenant Worship Center, Joliet, Illinois. Amen. And you'll find it. Those of you all who have Easy Tide, amen, go to Easy Tide. You can give and sow. If you have not downloaded Easy Tide, just go to Easy Tide in your app store. Look for New Covenant Worship Center, Joliet, Illinois. Download, set up the account, and you'll be able to give anytime, anywhere to sow. Amen. Those of you all who have the United States Postal Service, amen, you can give, amen, through the mail. Put your seed in the mail, amen, to 2423 Glenwood Avenue, Joliet, Illinois. And God will meet and supply all of your needs through the mail. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Won't he do it?
Yes, he will.
Amen. Amen. Glory to his name. It's new. C-O-V-N-C-W-C. See that? My media team just sent me the link. That's why you got to have a team. Amen. Somebody going to back you up. Amen. God bless your ministry, Brother Thomas in the booth. Amen. He holding it down. Amen. He got to have some. He got to put his toes in there today. He got to work the camera and the computer, amen, the board, amen. So he back there by himself today. Y'all continue to keep Sister Tiffany in prayer, amen. She had surgery, amen, but she's well and at home. And thank God for them, Brother Isaiah and Sister Chantel. Pray all is well with them, amen. But we give God glory, amen. It's good to see y'all this morning, amen. You look good. I missed y'all last week, amen. Y'all had an awesome time. Thank God for Prophetess Karen and Minister Clarissa sharing the word. They did an awesome job. Changing that mindset, amen, and the peace of God. And we love how God just uses us at the right time. Deacon Ryan said, I didn't want to be in front of the camera today. I was going to have Minister Oliver Flo. Minister Oliver called and said, I'm going to be out. Amen. Deacon Ryan had to take the full reign, amen. So it's all good and all well. We thank God for having people in position, amen. And I'm telling you, listen, you got to know how to make adjustments. They came in, the musician wasn't here yet, and they didn't know what, it was like, what's going on? I'm telling you, I believe and thank God for training, because I always tell you, you don't have to hold up the service, you got to wait for nobody to get here, go forward, then when they get in, you just pick up, amen? You just go with it, amen? And I'm telling you, they made the adjustments, you got to know how to do it. Coach Tony is a coach, so he knows about audibles, amen? You coaching football, and sometimes you got to change the play in the middle of the play, amen, and call an audible, amen. You look out and see that defense, what they going to run, you got to change the scheme, amen. It's well, it's good, amen. Those of y'all who have prepared your tithes and offering in the building, those on my right, amen, please proceed from the rear to the front to sow your seed. Y'all on my left, if you prepared your tithes and offering, you can proceed from the rear to the front to sow. Good to see. see you, Cam, in the building. Cameron back there, amen. The Walker family, amen. Appreciate you all. Amen. We pray everybody gave and sold online in the building. Amen. Everybody's good. So Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the tithes and offering, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the seeds that are sown, Father God, that you will continue to bless those that gave, bless those that may not have had it to give on today, Father God, that we shall experience, God, a supernatural increase and harvest and overflow in our lives on today, God. Lord, we speak life to this seed, God, that it shall continue to be used for the work of the ministry, for the building of your kingdom, God, and we seal it in the blood of Jesus, God, and we say thank you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Real quick before we get into our other announcements, there was a set of keys left in the mailbox. It has 2022 Chevy Trailblazer SUV black on a blue tag, and it has a distinctive key ring on it that looks like a key, but it has like a cross on the back. Do these keys belong to anybody in the ministry? I don't know, maybe someone in the parking lot may have lost them, and they came forth and just dropped them in our mailbox if they were in the parking lot. Anybody? And there's pictures on the screen so you can get a closer look at it. Amen. Come on, Sister Lois, amen, with our announcements. And then Pastor Denise will share a little bit about wife support, the change of date. And I'll share a little bit about our first Sunday for our senior service. Amen.
Good morning, saints. Good morning. How y'all doing this morning?
Good morning.
Everyone is looking beautiful this morning. I want to welcome our guests to New Covenant Worship Center, where the shepherd of this house is the one and only amazing Apostle Jonas Jones and our beautiful First Lady, Pastor Venice Jones. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Now, it's time for our announcements. Tuesdays is men's prayer on the conference call line at 8:30. Wednesday is our corporate prayer and fasting. Small salad. Okay, I guess I'm a little hungry this morning. Okay. A bottle of broth soup would be real good right about now. But okay, here we go. Wednesday is corporate prayer and fasting. Small salad, fruit and juice, and water from 6 a.m. and nuts. Okay, wait, that's okay, nuts. 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Our Bible study is at 6:30. Saturday is our movement ministry meet in the church parking lot at 7 a.m., weather permits. Sunday is Sunday school is at 9 a.m., and our Sunday morning worship starts at 10 a.m. That is it for our announcements. Because Pastor Venice, you have an announcement also. So you know what I'm going to do, since my beautiful sister has an additional announcement. I'm going to go ahead on and sit it down, and she can bring up her handsome husband to the podium. All right, saints, we all good. All right. God bless you all. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. Listen, really quick, I just wanted to inform all of the wives that wife support will be November 5th at 9 a.m. I know that many wanted to go and support Sister Gloria and her mother's passing, so we will move it to November 5th. November 5th at 9 a.m. I'll make sure the flyer be on there. Please join us on the Zoom call. It's such a great space just to share and encourage and get wisdom and be supportive to one another. Look, marriage is not always easy, but it's good when you got somebody else who you can see on the other side and say, girl, you can make it. Hang on in there. Keep praying. God will do it. One thing that I've learned is that it's not my responsibility to change my spouse. Come on. That's not my job. If I do that, if I try to jump in that shoes, I'm operating as the Holy Ghost, and I'm not qualified for that. Amen. And so it's not my job. This relationship, I have to give over to him because he ordained this. This is his covenant. Amen. And so I give it back to him. So I encourage you, be a part of wife support. It's via Zoom. You don't even have to cut your camera on. You can keep your bonnet on and just tune on in with us. Amen. Now come on, stand to your feet so I can introduce this handsome butterscotch. No, you more like a dark chocolate, you know. My goodness.
You've been watching too much Instagram.
I know,
see?
Right?
Don't start.
I can't even remember all the stuff he said.
Yeah, I know, because it's not right.
My Applebee's brownie. Come on. Yes. Come on, give it up for our Apostle Jonas Jones. Amen.
Amen. We give God praise. You all may be seated. Amen. I'm telling you, Instagram will get you in trouble. Amen. It's that I am Will Johnson. Amen. That brother is just anointed with foolery. Amen. But I'm not going to get into that. Amen. We give God praise. Thank God for the announcement. I'm telling you, wife support is amazing. It's encouraging. Amen. Take advantage of it. Amen. On the first Sunday of November, the Holy Spirit put upon my heart, we want to just have a service for our seniors, those that may have been out the building due to the pandemic, due to not being comfortable being around big crowds. We want to have a service just for them. They may have not been in church, for a long while. And so we want to set a space for them and just encourage them with prayer, with the word of God, and allow them to come in and have communion. So that first Sunday in November at 8 a.m., we're going to have a service for those that are 62 and older. Amen. And it'll be for about 45 minutes. And that way you'll be able to have some time to get right into Sunday school when they come in. So I'm encouraging you, invite your seniors out for those that may not have been in church for a while, and you got to go pick them up, bring them on in. We're going to be in here for 45 minutes and they'll be able to get a morning service. We're going to wear our masks during that 8 a.m. service just to be safe with everybody as the seniors come in. So we look forward to that. That's something that we're trying to do and just to see how it goes. If it goes well and, hey, people are interested in it, maybe we'll do it once a month or once a quarter. I mean, once every other month or once a quarter or something like that. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Listen, I'm so excited about this word, and I'm giving you just to ask you in the beginning, give me some grace and some time, because it's so meaty and I don't want you to leave nothing on the bone. Amen. I don't want you to leave anything on the bone. I want you to get everything you need out of this word today. And because I'm just excited. I was just about an hour and a half this morning just eating up this word, and that thing was just blessing me even the more. So listen, let's go to the very familiar passage of scripture. You heard the story before, but we're going to tell it again. Amen. So let's go to John chapter 4. I'm in the New Living Translation, NLT version. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. So here we are in this particular story of Jesus and this Samaritan woman. We've talked about it. It's many different things. I love the word of God because it continues to speak. It just has endless possibilities to the messages and the things that you can pull out of the scripture as you begin to meditate on the word of God. And so today, as we conclude in our series, I'm Still Here. I thank God for this word because it's going to encourage you and it's going to uplift you to know that, you know what, the things you've endured, the things you've had to go through, the challenges and all the things that have happened throughout the duration of your life is a direct result that God had to get to you. God, you had to have an encounter with God. And because of the encounter that you had with God, that's why you're still here. Yeah. And if God had not interrupted or came into your pathway, came into your situation, some of us would have lost it. Some of us would not be here. And so sometimes we just have to be honest with ourselves to know that, you know what, we really were in some tough situations, some challenging where our back was against the wall. But through the grace of God, He came to find me and see about me. Amen. So I'm grateful and thankful for that. Amen. So let's get right into this thing, and we're going to dissect this thing just kind of verse by verse so that you can get a full understanding of this and some things you may have heard before, some things you may not have heard before, but I guarantee you it's going to bless you. Amen?
Amen.
Starting at verse 1, it says, Jesus knew the Pharisees had heard that he was baptizing and making more disciples than John. Though Jesus himself didn't baptize them, his disciples did. So he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He had to go through Samaria on the way. Because we know this story, let's break this down and let's stop and slow down right here. For those of you all who are not familiar with the fullness of this, I want you to get an image and an understanding of the fullness of why these things are mentioned. And when I begin to study some of the commentaries, I gained a fuller understanding of the importance of it. And sometimes if we begin to stop and just meditate and get the full importance of why these things are mentioned, that he says he had to go through Samaria on the way. Now, from Judea to Galilee, the Jews, they would necessarily avoid Samaria. because Samaria was an area where the Jews did not get along with the Samaritans. And so this was kind of the route that was least chosen. And so from Judea to go to Galilee, they would go around another way. And so Jesus chose a way that people did not normally take, because Jesus was on assignment to get to a place and get to a person that he had to encounter. And so sometimes you have to realize and understand that God will come and meet you where you least expect him. God will come and find you where you least likely to be found. How many of us have been in situations and in areas where, you know what, I was down in this low place. I was in somewhere where I shouldn't have been, but God's grace came and saved me and pulled me out of it because I shouldn't have been there. That wasn't the best decision for me to make. But God said, I'm going to create a pathway to get to you. It's not the pathway that's always chosen. It's not the easiest or the quickest route according to the GPS. But according to where I need to go, I got to go through Samaria. And so I need you to understand the things that you have gone through along the way have been for purpose, have been for God to build something in you, to strengthen you. He said he had to go through Samaria on the way. And you got to understand this other thing that's so important and significant about this is that why the Samaritans and the Jews had issues is that the Assyrians came and put Israel into captivity. And when they begin to break off, the Assyrians and the Israelites begin to now intermarry and they begin to have children. And then as they begin to have children, now this created an atmosphere where people begin to come in, and now the Samaritans were isolated and could not come into the temple. And so because they could not come into the temple, they begin to create worship for themselves, and they begin to say that everything was attached to Mount Jizrim. And so when they begin to say and they begin to change the stories of the Bible, they said that it was Mount Jizrim where God was at. So when Noah built the ark, they said it landed in Mount Jizrim. When Abraham was offering Isaac as a sacrifice, they said it happened at Mount Jizrim. So you have to understand, because they had now been isolated and looked upon as half-breeds, they weren't full Jews. Now this created an atmosphere of friction and tension, and then this opened the door for the enemy to come in and give you some doctrine that does not particularly hold the full truth of the situation. And so that's, you can look at this thing on a broader picture, because you can see when things happen, you can see how different religions and doctrines are formulated, because somebody may have now did not like you, or somebody did not agree with what your teaching was. So now you develop a whole teaching on a doctrine that God didn't even ordain for it to be. Oh Jesus, I'm teaching way better than y'all shouting already. So he had gone through Samaria on the way. He said eventually he came. I'm saying all that because we're going somewhere, because you're going to understand it more and more as we read the scripture. He said eventually he came to Samaria, to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus tired from the long walk. I told you, because this was the longer route in order to get to Galilee. This was a longer distance. He chose to take the path that did not have the least resistance, but had some time involved in it. He said, eventually he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised. Remember what I just shared with you? For Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Listen, she understood the traditions of where she had been brought up in. She understood what had been indoctrinated in her, that Jews don't like Samaritans, and she was cautious. She said, "Why are you even speaking to me?" And understanding not even the fact that as a rabbi, that here it is, he's not supposed to even speak to a woman in public. If a rabbi was married and he saw his wife in public, he didn't even have to speak to her. Y'all missing this thing. So you got to understand how Jesus was breaking down traditions and laws and things that people had held at high esteem. He said, "I'm coming to break up some stuff. I'm coming to do things in a different way." And when you're doing things in a different way, it confuses the enemy, and the enemy does not know how to deal with you. And so she asked the question, "Why are you talking to me? Why am I important? Why am I significant? Why are you holding a conversation with me in public? I see that you are a rabbi. I see that there's some grace and anointing on you. You're a Jew. You shouldn't talk to me as a Samaritan." So listen at this, how the enemy puts these stereotypes and we adopt them. Black folks is lazy. Black folks will never be this or that. And so if you allow people to and you keep allowing them to now dictate to who you are, you don't have to succumb to the things they speak over you. I can curse that thing and say, I'm full of life. I am blessed. I am not cursed. I'm a hard worker. I believe in the power of Jesus Christ. And you have to change your perspective and not allow the society or the culture to dictate to you. But she was caught up and she began to receive what had been taught to her over the years. Oh my God. Thank you. I got to slow down because this thing is getting gooder and gooder. Come on, Minister Ted, help me preach this thing. She said to Jesus, you are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. Why are you asking me for a drink? Jesus replied, if you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water. But sir, verse 11, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said. And this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestors, Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoy? Now notice this. This woman is now trying to get an understanding and rationalize with Jesus. She's trying to depict and begin to shift kind of the focus and talk about the well and where it came from and this particular water, this living water. How is it? Is it greater than our ancestors? Because I told you that people get caught up in what has sometimes have become now a shrine to them because of the forefathers and the ancestors have been holding on to it for so long. But sometimes you got to let go of old so that the new can come forth and that you can experience change in your life. Oh, I ain't going to get no help in here. So look at verse 13. Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. He said, so now you need to understand, I'm not talking about a natural thing, but because you're naturally thirsty, it presents an opportunity for God to come in. Now, this is what you need to understand. God is, you're in a position to be still here because you were not just thirsty for the natural water, but your soul was actually thirsty. When she was at that well, she didn't realize, even though she was thirsty in the natural and Jesus was thirsty in the natural, God said, I sent you here so your soul could be filled. I sent you here so that your soul could be made whole. I sent you here because it was a deeper thing that you needed. See, you were looking on the surface of the situation. You were looking and thought you needed money. You thought you needed peace from a man or a woman. You thought that you would find emotional peace in a relationship with somebody. But God said, I'm here to heal your soul. Well, you don't have to chase after things if you would just chase after me. He said, Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I will give, that I give, will never thirst again. It becomes a fresh bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. So listen, he said to her, listen, this thing that you're going to receive is going to give you eternal life. So verse 15, if you were offered this proposition, and this woman is in this situation, she says, please, sir, the woman said, give me this water. Because you have to understand something. Her background is that, hey, people would normally come to the well in the morning time or in the evening time, not in the heat of the middle of the day at noontime. Because she had an issue with the people in the society, in the culture, they looked upon her and shunned upon her because she was known as Loose Lucy. And so because she was known as Loose Lucy, because she's not named in the scripture, but we can just apply a name to her because of the storyline that she's given and the life that she began to portray. So Loose Lucy was in a place of being condemned, and she didn't want to go in the time when the other women were there, because why? She was creeping as the side chick. Oh, I ain't gonna get no help in here in this sanctified Baptist Pentecostal church this morning. Because she was creeping as the side chick, she didn't want to be in the presence of those women to face them and to be able to look them in the face when it was time for them to come at the time of the well and get water. So here it is at noontime, she's looking for this drink. She said, if I can get this water, I won't have to deal with my issue no more. Yeah. See, the enemy will try to let you get to a place if you don't confront the issue and the sin that's in your life and the thing that's keeping you distracted, the thing that's keeping you from the presence, the thing that's keeping you from fulfilling your fullness and purpose in your life. Because you're worried about what folks say, you're worried about how they're looking at you, you're worried about what they're going to do to you. No, God, you can't fear man. What can man do to you? That's what he told the apostles. He said, should I fear God? Better not fear man. Should I fear man? Better not fear God. You got to get to the point and place where you realize and say, listen, give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again. And I won't have to come here to get this water. I'm here to help you today. Listen, when you get a hold of Jesus, he'll satisfy your thirst and your hunger for your soul, for everything that's contrary to him. It will be satisfied. You won't have to look outside of the will of God for your life. You won't have to look outside of the plan and purpose for him. Why? Because I'm thirsty for him. Yeah, So now, so this opens up the door. This message is so full. Do you know this is actually evangelistic message that Jesus is evangelizing? So if you ever wanted to know how to win souls, look at this passage. If you ever wanted to know how to gain somebody to Christ, look at this passage. Because he said, he that win his souls is wise. I'm teaching, I'm telling you, just stay with me this morning. Verse 16, go and get your husband, Jesus told her. Hold on, wait a minute. Oh man, hold on. Wait, I just met you. How you coming up in my business and getting up in my house? See, that's what Jesus will do. He'll get up in your house because your house needs to get cleaned so that he can come in. Because if I don't clean out the mess, how can Jesus come in and fill the voids and the emptiness that's really on the inside of you? Because you've been thinking that the husband that you had is the thing that's been fulfilling to you. You're thinking that the husband is going to make you whole. You're thinking, if I could just get a man, if he can just stay with me for 3 months, I know I'll get him hooked. I know I'll be the one. I know he won't leave me. Listen, if I could just get that woman, if I could just show her how strong I am, how I'll provide for her, how I'll protect her, I know that woman going to stay with me. She's going to be the best thing that ever happened to me. But you got to understand something. That's superficial. That's not the plan and purpose of God. If you have not a purpose to be fulfilled in being married, it might be your destiny to stay single. I ain't gonna get no help in this place. Yeah, I'm not gonna get no help in here. See, everything may not be called to you. And see, just because your neighbor is blessed to be married, don't you become jealous and envious because your season ain't came yet. Because it might be God's plan and purpose that, you know what, it might be for you to be single in this hour, in this season. And it might be that, you know what, you may not ever find the right one. But if you stay with Jesus, who is my lover of my soul? Who is my El Shaddai? Who is my Prince of Peace? Who is my Lily of the Valley? Who is my bright and morning star? Who the Son of David? If I stay with him, he will satisfy and heal my soul. Well, I won't have to be lonely. I don't have to be longing for another person's presence. If I just trust him and look to him. Oh my God. So. Come on, y'all. Yeah. Slow down. Back up. Beep, 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 beep. Verse 16. Go get your husband. Jesus told her. Verse 17, I don't have a husband, the woman replied. Jesus said, you're right. Now, this is the part you need to understand. She admitted and she now confirmed his truth. Yes. See, when God sees something in you, don't lie and say it ain't there.
That's right.
See, you're trying to play this game like God don't see.
Yeah.
Stop fooling yourself.
Yeah.
She said, and Jesus said, you're right. So in other words, Jesus knew what was in her heart. Because here it is. She said, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, you're right. You don't. Because the man you with ain't yours.
Uh-huh.
He said, you don't have a husband, for you have had 5 husbands. And you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. Uh-oh. This NLT, this New Living Translation. You shacking up with somebody? You living with somebody?
Come on, sir.
And what Jesus said, you certainly spoke true.
Yep.
So when you're honest with your own self,
yes,
this is an opportunity for God to come in and heal your soul.
Yes.
So he brought forth conviction. Listen to this. Conversion without conviction will only be temporary. Conversion without conviction will not last. Because conviction brings you to the place to be converted.
Yes.
Because there should be something that the word of God, that the presence of God should be convicting you with right now while you're sitting there listening to this word. As I was reading, I was being convicted in some areas. Why? Because the word will bring conviction. It will bring conversion. Conversion brings change. Conversion brings newness. Because why? I'm trying to get to a better level than I was on yesterday. I'm trying to become better than what I was a few minutes ago. I'm trying to get to the next level where God wants to take me. So when she understood and Jesus said, you certainly spoke truth.
Yes.
Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. At first he was just a Jew. Then he was sir. I taught this message a long time ago. When you encounter God, how your perception changes. So he went from just a Jew to sir. Now she perceives he's a prophet. And see, some of us don't want this part of Jesus' life.
Well,
we don't want the prophet Jesus. We just want the blesser Jesus. We just want the healer Jesus. We don't want the prophet Jesus, because the prophet is going to come in your house and tell you if you had a husband or not. Oh, I ain't gonna get no help in this sanctified Pentecostal Baptist church this morning. Where are my Methodist people at? Just Methodist people just sit there and just be, You won't know whether they got it or didn't get it. They just go sit there. Huh? You better act Methodist this morning, because they're not. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship? Well, we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim. What did I just, I gave you the background. I gave you the background of what they had been taught. Because here it is, while we Samaritans, this is the woman talking, you all, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worship. So here it is, she's at a place, she's caught up, she don't know where I should worship. The Jews say this place, the Samaritans say this place, and you're giving me another thing. She's saying, where do I worship? If it's not Mount Gerizim, if it's not this mount, if it's not at the temple, if it's not at the cathedral, if it's not at the mosque, if it's not in the sanctuary, where should I worship? Y'all, I'm telling you. Listen, Jesus replied, believe me, dear one, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here when? Now. Oh my God. I thank God that now my Baptist church just came back. I need somebody to say now. Oh Jesus. When true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Now, let me back up again. But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now. When true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, the Father, pay attention, is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. Can I help you?
Yes.
Oh my God, this is going to bless you.
Go ahead.
Some of us have been in areas in our life where it seemed as though God wasn't there. It seemed like you were looking for God and God wasn't answering, and you were asking God stuff and there was no response, and you were just sitting around getting frustrated, and you was like, God, I know you see me. I know you hear me. Why are you not giving me what I need? And so here it is. This scripture sums it all up in a nutshell. We're in a position where you're trying to look for God, but it's not your responsibility to look for him. He said he'll look for you. Y'all missing this. He'll look for you how? Because the scripture said he seek a worshiper. So if I can't find him, I should get into worship and just get on my face and cry out unto the Lord. Father God, I need you, because I come to you as a worshiper. I worship you in spirit and in truth. I need you in my life right now, God. I come to praise you. And Bible says that he seeks a worshiper who will worship in spirit and in truth. See, you were in the posture of crying because you were mad. You were crying because you were upset. You were angry at somebody, and all you did was talk about, God, why didn't you do this to me? God didn't do nothing. No, he said worship in spirit and truth. God, I come before you repenting. Cleanse my heart, my mind, my spirit. God, I worship you. I adore you, God. And when you begin to worship, God will say, daughter, son, I see you, because you came into the right seeking place. You came into the right posture. But I could not find you because you weren't in the place of worship. So what happens is, this is why the enemy fights you in worship when praise and worship is going on. You look like, who was that coming in the door now? Why she got on polka dots? Why you got on these colors? Why you got that hat on? Why you got braids in your hair? Why you wearing blue? And so now I miss my seat. And so now while you in worship, you never hear God speaking to you because you were focused on the wrong stuff. Boy, I took God, now give me another Sunday off. Jesus, this thing blessing my life. Y'all messing with me. So listen. We've been trying to find God when God said, I've been trying to find you, but you've just been in the wrong posture. This is why the enemy fights you in worship. You got to realize. Notice this. What did he tell Jesus in the wilderness? If you would just bow down and worship me. Worship. I told you, whoever you worship, that's who you give your life to. If you worship him, he would bow down to Satan. Now Satan becomes Lord of him. So who I worship, when I bow on my knees or I lay on my face, that gives reverence and honor to the God that I serve. And I serve the true and living God. And I'm at a place today. Listen, I've been going through some things, and whatever you've been dealing with, and whatever you've been going through, and whatever challenges you had, if you would just get into a place of worship, and if you would find your quiet space, whether it's in your car, in your closet, or in your bathroom, wherever it may be, and just begin to lift up your hands and say, God, I come to you in worship. I come to you and I honor your name. I call you El Shaddai. I call you Jehovah Rapha. I call you Jehovah Nisi. I call you Jehovah Shalom. I call you Jehovah Sikkenu. I call you Adonai. I call you Abba. If God is on the seat, why am I seeking? Now don't get that twisted like you're not supposed to seek God. But what I'm saying is that your worship gets God's attention. Oh my God, it gets God's attention. And so when you change your posture, this is what God was telling. Because see, the woman was caught up. Should I go to Mount Gerizim? Should I go to the temple? See, some of us have got it caught up. Because you don't have to come and wait till Sunday to worship God. Some people try to tell you, well, you got to come on Saturday. You got to come on Sunday evening. You got to come to Wednesday night service. You got to come to tarrying service. You got to come to Bible study. You got to come to the foot washing service. You got to come to the Feast of Tabernacles. You got to come to the Passover feast. You got to come and do all these various things. But God said, if you would just open your mouth. And just call on his name. And worship him in spirit and in truth. He said, I'll be right there. I'll find you. I'll seek you out. You can be buried in the mud. You can be sinking in quicksand. I believe that the fire that in the furnace of the three Hebrew boys, that when they call and begin to worship, because the enemy said you should just die and burn. But no, they said that my God, he will supply and he will save me out of this fire and this pit. And so when you get that attitude, notice King Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire. It looked like I see a fourth man. And he looked like Son of God. See, because when I worship, he shows up.
That's right.
So, I got to finish y'all. Listen. This thing blessing my life. So listen, the woman said, verse 25, the woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. Just then his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman. But none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Or why are you talking to her? Now, at this point, the disciples have seen Jesus in operation long enough to know that he always going against the grain. He always gonna do something that don't look right. This is why you have to be careful that when you see something that don't look right, you don't know that it might be right, but you can't assume something because you say, oh, I saw an apostle talking to that woman over there. Well, you don't know who that woman is. That might be my store manager from my store. But you say, I can't wait to go call Pastor Venice. I saw an apostle talking to a woman. Man, she ain't had no hair like her. So the disciples, come on, gonna stick beside me. Amen. So the disciples said that they didn't even ask no question. They said, look, I know how you roll, Jesus. I ain't even gonna ask you. I don't know what's going on, but we just gonna wait and see what happens. So it says, the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone. Now the King James traditional version says telling the men.
Yep.
Pay attention. Yes. I'm going somewhere.
Yes.
Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Now, at this point, she has got a full revelation and she left her water pot. Now, these wells were somewhere between 30 and 40 feet deep. So you had to have a water pot in order to get the water, and she left behind something that was valuable to her. So at this point, she's realized the thing that I had thought was worth and value, I don't need it anymore. I'll leave that behind, because Jesus said when he called the fishers and he called his disciples, he said, if you come go with me, I'll give you way more than you had before you were fishermen.
That's right.
Because I'm going to allow you to go and make disciples out of men and be fishers of men. And so here it is. This woman, she left her water pot and she ran back to the village telling everyone, or in King James, telling men, because why? She had an influence over them. She had encounters with men. See, let me help you and let me help you get to the point in place. I know you thought you used to be on the pole and you were stripping and you thought you weren't going to never change your life. You thought you weren't going to never get delivered. But there's some ex-strippers, some ex-streetwalkers that used to be in the presence and used to be in that place. But now they had an encounter with God. And so you can go in there now, not switching, but you can go in there walking back into the club and say, I found somebody that brought me off the pole and put my clothes on. And I came to tell you about somebody that told me all about my life, all about my business. And because of that, I want you to come see a man. I want you to come and see somebody. Why? Because I got a testimony, and you can't believe it unless you see him. And see, sometimes you got to tell some people when you're evangelizing to them. Don't tell them about your church. Tell them about your Jesus that you're going to meet when you get to that church. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. He said, oh, my God. Listen. Verse 31, I don't have time for that. Because what Jesus was giving them an understanding of what the harvest was. And telling them that the harvest was ripe. He told them, listen, I have food that you know not of. He said, I ain't hungry for natural food. He said, my hunger is being fed because I'm sharing this gospel. I'm sharing this story and this particular water, of this living water, with this individual who was thirsty and she was in a desperate situation. So as she came and she began to give her life to God, this fed Jesus' spirit. Don't you know it's encouraging and it's uplifting? Any of you all who know that when you've seen somebody's life truly change, you've seen them delivered, and you may have played a part in that. You may have just told them about the love of Jesus, or you may have just shared your testimony. Somewhere along the line, God said, one water, one planet, one water, but God will give the increase. So you had a part to play. And when you see them come in, that's a time for rejoicing. So Jesus was rejoicing and he was celebrating and grateful, and he was trying to get the disciples to understand it. So now we're going to pick it up at verse 39, because I don't have time to read all that, because then we're going to close this thing out. So look at verse 39. Oh my God. Many Samaritans from the village believed in Jesus because the woman had said, he told me everything I ever did. That's what got him to Jesus. But I told you there has to be conviction with your conversion. And when you get to Jesus, you will have your own personal encounter.
Yes, right.
Well, I don't have to live off the testimony of my grandmother and my great-grandmother and my mama and my daddy. It said he told me everything I ever did. But verse 40 says, when they came out to see him, they begged him to stay in their village. So he stayed for 2 days, long enough for many more to hear his message and do what? Believe. Uh-huh. Oh, my God. So this woman was in a position to still be here, because God had a plan to take her from being loose Lucy to being a living epistle read of men, that was, she would witness the gospel and share her story, and it would draw people to come see Jesus. And she was an orchestrator, and she now came together, what you call, like not a party promoter, when they plan something, she organized a revival. She became an event planner. Oh my God. And she had a revival because the Bible says that he stayed there 2 days. And in 2 days, more people believed. Listen to this. These were Samaritans. These were people who looked down on Jews. But see, when you have an encounter with Jesus, I forget all about that foolishness because that doesn't matter to the kingdom. What matters is your soul open? Is your heart open? Are you ready to confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and rose for you and you will be saved?
Yeah.
And the other thing that was so important about this message and how Jesus operated, he revealed her sin when he had the conversation about the man who she was living with wasn't her husband at the time. But he didn't revel in it. He didn't have to go through why she had been with five different men. He didn't have to find out the reasonings and the stuff. He just found out. He said, listen, you in sin? Let's get delivered. See, some stuff, I don't even need to know how you got here. I just need to know why you're here right now. That God is available and he'll wash you, he'll cleanse you, he'll create in you a clean heart, he'll renew in you a right spirit. But some of us nosy folk, some of us old deep folk, they want to have a story to tell. Well, such and such used to come out of such and such. Such and such used to have 17 men. And he used to be with 17 women and they used to do all this extra stuff. No, God said, I'm not going to revel in that. I see you hurting. This is why the church ain't filled, because we don't see nobody hurting. We just keep brushing them off. We keep pushing them back out to the world. We keep pushing them out because you're too nasty to come in here. You're too stinky to come in here. But I love what the commentator said. What happens is, now listen, don't get this twisted and get it wrong. We'll go after the person that's polished, the teacher, the CEO, the police officer. But Jesus went to Galilee. Because later in the verse, he said a prophet's not worthy in his own country. But the Galileans welcomed him. See, sometimes you got to go to the people that are unloved. The Samaritans were unloved. They were unlikable. But you got to sometimes go to the people that don't fit your particular status quo, that don't fit your image. And that's what happens. See, what happens is when you get the person that may have been a drunk, you may have been a drug addict, God will come in and clean them up. I know too many ministries and pastors where they've been in that situation. They met God in a low place, but you look at them now, they're multimillionaires. You're looking at them now, they're faithful in their workplace. They're working hard. They're giving. They're doing what they need to do. Why? Because they were at a low place. And sometimes you got to understand, it's not always about the one that look like you. Might be somebody that's in a place that don't even look like you. And they'll come in and say, I'll receive the word. Now, I'm just being straight up and just being, I'm using this as an example. This ain't no shade to Mike and Tina. Mike and Tina just stumbled up on this church because they live in the neighborhood. Now, when they came in and found out it was a bunch of black folks in here, they could have turned around and said, listen, this ain't the church for me. Mike a real guy. Don't get offended. I'm just sharing an example of what God would do. When they came in here and God would begin to minister to them, and they sat around long enough and they said, well, that word is helping me. It's encouraging me. It's blessing me.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who's in around you. I came in here looking for Jesus.
Yeah.
And sometimes we get caught up. And we're trying to figure out, well, why it should be all this and all that and all that. No, God will send in who he desires to be here. In the challenges and the struggles and whatever thing that God you had to go through to get here. God, I love you, and God, you're going to clean me. You're going to bless me. You're going to strengthen me. You're going to make me new. Why? Because I'm going to be in your presence. And I'm going to worship God. And I'm telling you, God has blessed them in the midst of God's presence. Not our presence, God's presence.
Yes.
And that's the type of heart that God is looking for. He's just looking, are you open? Do you want me to come in? He's a gentleman. Notice he didn't beat her down. He didn't start talking about, you know you're wrong for that. You know you're with a man, and you know you're out of order. You know that this is against the law. You know how your mama feels. You know how your daddy feels. You're out here working the street. They ain't trying to hear that. I'm already condemned.
Right.
He didn't come into the world to condemn us, but he came that we might have life. Oh my God. Listen, the last part of this scripture, I'm going to read it in closing. It says, so he stayed for 2 days long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. Then they said to the woman, now we believe, not just because of what you told us, but because we have heard him we have heard him ourselves. Now we know that he is indeed the Savior of the world. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand praise. Amen. That woman had to go through all that. And God had to save her from the pain, the disappointment. Do you know how it felt that every time she had to go get water, she had to time herself? Because she didn't want to be tormented, the agony, the pressure that she felt. I can't even have a relationship with my good girlfriends because of how I've made bad choices and decisions. But Jesus looked beyond all of that. And he said, if I can just get to you, if I can just get you to have a few moments with me, I'll come in and tell you that everything that you may have done in your past, I'll come in and heal you and forgive you.
That's right.
And I'll give you a new start.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So at this very moment, even those who are watching virtually and even in the building, if this is the opportunity and the time that you said, you know what, I've never received Jesus Christ. I ain't got to wait till the end of service. I ain't got to wait till the dismissal. We're going to do it right now. If you have never received Jesus, and you may be watching this and conviction fell on your heart, and you feel compelled to say, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. Oh, my God. God, I want to be the one that will worship you in spirit and in truth. And if that's you and you're in this building, lift your hand. If you're watching online, lift your hand. You may watch it later in a replay. You don't have to go get a bucket and go to the well. You don't have to tell everybody else about what you did. All he's looking for you is to come.
Amen.
And when you come, all you have to do is, if you're listening, repeat after me. We're going to say the sinner's prayer. We're going to move forward in the service. Heavenly Father, I come before you today, a sinner. I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to have mercy upon my soul, that as I come, I confess with my mouth, I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died and he rose for my sins. And today, I confess you as my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ. I am saved. And I receive you as my personal Lord. God, fill me with your precious Holy Spirit that I may choose to live wisely in your eyesight. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you spoke those words, you have just received salvation and received God's promise of eternal life. This man and woman of God, y'all came in here together, but are you all married or y'all together? Are y'all, what y'all, you two?
No, we're not married.
But y'all, are y'all, what's y'all relation?
Yes.
Couple, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I want to minister first to you, young lady. And the Holy Spirit told me that God said, it's time for you to take your rightful seat. It's time for you to take your rightful seat. And the enemy has had you in a place of running and avoiding and going to and fro. But God said, I'm getting ready to stabilize you. I'm getting ready to bring you to a place of stability. I'm getting ready to bring you to a place of reassurance. And what has happened is, God said, when you take your seat, oh my God, he said, then I can come in and heal the wounds. He said, because what happens is you've made yourself busy trying to camouflage. And you've made yourself busy doing things and camouflaging and trying to just hide the pain and trying to be like, you know what, I'm okay, I'm gonna make it, I'm good. And you put up all these walls, all these particular barriers, and the enemy has kept you in that place. But God said, when you find your rightful seat and seeking me and calling out to me and crying out to me and asking him, Jesus Christ, to come fully into your heart and that you receive his instructions, God said, I'll order your steps. He said, I'll lead you and I'll guide you. He said, and I'll heal the wounds and the hurts of the past. God said, be fully open to love again, fully. Because you haven't opened up all the way. And God said, I'm going to give you the ability to be vulnerable again. Oh my God. Because I'm concerned about you, daughter. I'm concerned about you, daughter. So he said, just stand and get to the seat where I've called you to get to. And God said, you no longer you have to run and be looking. He said, just get to the place and get in worship. And he's going to give you the instructions. Get in the seat of worship. And God will give you the instructions. Man of God, listen. God has, he's really turned things around for you. There has been a turning point from where you were years ago and where God has taken you and where you are today. And God desires for you to continue on that pathway, continue to move in the realm of success, to move in the realm of newness. God said, we, in scripture, and I don't know if you're familiar, but the Bible says that we can't put new wine in old wine skins. And there's a shedding that God wants to do in your life. A shedding. Oh my God. I see you shedding some stuff off. And God said, I'm shedding you so that I can fill you with the newness. And God's getting ready to give you the things that you've been desiring. I don't know where you are in business. I don't know where you are in job. But the opportunity is yours for the asking. Oh, I'm getting ready to bless your life today. He said the opportunity is yours for the accent, and God's getting ready to do this thing swiftly. The money's getting ready to come in place. The business getting ready to come in place. The things that you have been crying out for is getting ready to happen. God said, why? Because you made a decision to walk through these doors today and have an encounter with Jesus. Not with the apostle, but you had an encounter with Jesus. So God set it up. I don't know how you got here, but God said, I ordered your steps just like Jesus had to go through Samaria to get to Galilee. He didn't have to choose that route. But God said, I chose the route for you today to get to New Covenant Worship Center because I said, he's going to have something for you. He's going to have something to miss, and I need to get it to you. So God said, when you get to that place, now listen to me, because the money's getting ready to come. It's getting ready. I'm talking about good money. It's more a little small money. And the money's getting ready to come in through the business adventure and the things you have in your heart to do. And God's going to favor you. He's going to give you networking. He's going to give you relationships that's going to line up. And everybody that's talking to you right now ain't the right one. Yeah. So now, listen. He says, so now I'm praying God give you discernment. Yes. Because what happens is we can get filled with emotions. And I can choose partnerships that God say, I didn't fully say that. So God said, I'm going to expose and you're going to know. Watch what he do. Watch what he do. I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost says. And God is favoring you all. I don't know what stage your relationship is. That ain't my business. I'm just telling you God's favoring you all. And continue to walk in what God is going to do. Because God has it. He has it for you, man and woman of God. He has it for you. He has it for you. And I want you to speak that confession over your life. I want you to get in that mirror and say, I'm a man of God. I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. And watch what God begin to do when you open up your mouth to the confession. Hallelujah. 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 Karen, I need you to stand up. It's not your burden to carry, man. God said he sees you worrying about things that's not your work.
Speak, Lord.
Everything that you're believing for and that you have need of, God said, I'm going to meet it because your heart's been pure. Amen. Because you weren't going after for the wrong reason. Your parents have made the sacrifice. People have made choices and sacrifices for your benefit. Yeah. And it's not going to go in vain, man. It's not. He said, you just keep doing what I've called you to do, and you keep moving forward. You go to school, you do good in classes, you go to practice, you play basketball, you do what you're supposed to do, and God's going to work it out.
Yeah.
It's not your struggle. It belongs to the Lord. And God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. He said, I have you in this place because I want you to know that I want you to know that you can trust me. You can trust God.
Yes.
So God will take us things so we can see him in his fullness.
Yes.
So I want you to stand firm. Stand firm.
Yes.
And don't give up on what God has put into your heart. And God said, I'm telling you, the things that's going to happen for you is going to be unexpected. Well, people are going to walk up to you and say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Oh, I'm going to work this for you. All you got to do is believe. All you have to do is believe. God said, I will strengthen you for the journey.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Appreciate you, man. God. Go ahead. Bless the Lord.
God says he's changing the countenance of your face. That your countenance will be his countenance, so that when people see you, they're going to see him. Even as the message went forth today, that you don't have to look for Jesus. He's looking for you, and he's going to find you because you're going to worship. And he said he's going to find you because you're going to be worshiping in truth, because he's looking for those, and he's looking for you to worship him in spirit and in truth. And because you're doing that, he's going to find you. The well is running with living water. The well running with living water, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. He also says that the world says that I'm looking for the sons of men. You're his son. The world is looking for you, baby boy. The world looking for you. So don't stop doing what you're doing, because the well is running and it's eternal life. It's running and your countenance will change. Even when you look in the mirror, you're going to see a different you.
Amen.
Oh, the well is running, hey, the well of living water. It's running. Hey, as you cry, man of God, the well. Living water is flowing as you cry. Oh, God says that his ear is not too heavy, that he don't hear you when you call. His ear is not too heavy, that he don't hear you when you call. He hear you when you call, man of God. He said even his arms are so strong that he got you in his arms. He got you in his arms. And it's okay to cry. Real men do cry. He got you in his arms. He says that I have you in the palm of my hand. And the only way that you don't stay there is if you jump out. He said, Don't jump out my hand. I got goodness for you. Oh, my God, my God.
Yeah.
Hey, the well of living water. Yes, the well of living water. The well of living water is flowing in here today. Oh, apostle, the well of living water is flowing out of your belly, he says. I'm causing rivers, not just trickles, but I'm causing rivers of living water to flow from you. And all that come in contact with you, he said if they would just jump into this river, that their life will change. If they would just jump into the river that's flowing from you, their life will change. Said the living God, well, the living water is flowing from you. Oh, man of God, you have not seen, nor have you heard what God has in store for you. But now is the hour that the rivers of living water are flowing from you. You will see the fruit of the living water that's flowing from you. You will see and you will reap the harvest that you've been preaching and ministering to. As I sat in Bible study on Thursday and I said that, hallelujah, that man, you just sit up here and you preach like there's thousands.
Oh, yes. God says that you're getting ready to preach before a thousand. Yes. He's allowing you to arise and to wake early because he's going to set you in a setting that you don't even know that God have even prepared for you. Yes. So get ready, man of God, for the setting that has been set before you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And even for, hallelujah, Pastor Benita, because he said that because you're by his side, you're going with him.
Yes.
You're going with him. Yes. So, Father, I just thank you for what you're doing for two. For you said that man finds favor when he finds a wife. And I thank you, Father, that those of us that will be here when they go on, that, Father, you prepare our hearts to do what we got to do.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Put us in positions to do what we have to do, oh God. Because as they're out there in the field, Lord, they're doing what you want them to do. Even as you said, Apostle, with your own mouth, that you're doing this because this is your assignment. So, Father, I thank you for the assignment that you placed in him. I thank you that you give us eyes to see the assignment that you've given him, that you give us ears to hear the assignment that you've given him. So we know that, Father, as he is, so are we. As he up, we go up. So, Father, I bless you for this house, oh God. I bless you for this house that we want to. We want to do what you called us to do. So we thank you, Father, and we bless you for the wells of living water. Hey, wells of living water. I can't help but to keep saying that wells of living water is flowing in this place, Apostle. Wells of living water, oh God. Wells of living water that will change you. Oh, as the word went forth on today, and God said that you ain't got to look for him. He's looking for you. He's looking for you in true worship. So if we would get in true worship, he would change our situations, things that were going on in our lives. He will change us. He will cleanse us and wash us. Oh, Father, let us be worshipers, true worshipers, oh God, that worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name.
Oh, glory to his name. Lexi, can you set up? You have been in my spirit the past few weeks, and every time I get ready to call, I just forgot or something happened. I don't know. But I just heard, I'm different. Yeah, I'm different. I'm different. Yeah, I'm different. If you're over 35, you don't know that, but black and yellow. And God said he made you different for a reason. And I need you to embrace it. He said embrace it. And what the enemy has tried to do was to dilute your difference and to make you think that because you were different that you didn't measure up.
Yes. Yes.
And the enemy comes to bring us to a place, and I even hear Jonathan McReynolds' song, we talk about comparison kills. And you can't find yourself comparing yourself to others because you're different. And when you embrace your difference fully and know who you are in Christ,
amen,
firm, assured, trusting in who God's created you to be, that's when Lexi, the fullness of who you are, will blossom.
Yes.
And as you're standing there, even today, you look taller. You may have on some heels, but I'm telling you, you look taller because God is you. He's taking you to another level, and God wants you to rise up and receive and know who you are in Christ. That you are his daughter. That you are beautiful and you're worth it. You're worth more. And everybody can't handle different. So that's why you have to come to the grips with it. Everybody can't handle different. When it seems like some people may mishandle, they don't know fully how to deal with you. because they can handle different. That ain't the one. So God will give you, and he will strengthen you, and he will lead you, and he will guide you as he takes you to the next level. Now, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Sister Lexi, God. I thank you for the grace that's upon her life. I pray that, Lord, you continue to strengthen her, watch over her, build her up on today. Release grace, release mercy, release favor. Bring forth, God, those differences that you created her in, God, to be her uniqueness. That, God, she will stand and she will rest in your promises. That you will never leave her nor forsake her. I place a hedge of protection around her, God, that you will guard her mind and guard her heart. That, Lord, nothing will come in to take advantage of her, to mistreat her, to abuse her, God. But I pray for peace to rest upon her mind. And that, God, she will continue to seek you, God. She will continue to seek you concerning the things of her life. And that she will find herself in a position of worship. So that you will come and give her the things that she has need of. And God, we thank you, we praise you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Prophet, can you hear anything? Amen. Well, God is good.
Amen.
And he's worthy to be praised.
Yes,
I am. We're going to do this and we're going to get ready to leave now from this place. Deacon Ryan, get a mic. I want this man and woman of God. I want y'all to keep calling the man and woman of God. I'm not, that's speaking prophetically over where their life is at and what God is getting ready to do. But I want them to share whatever the Holy Spirit has on their heart. And while you're getting there, I want you to get a seed in your hand. If you get a seed in your hand, we're going to sow today. But I just want God to be able to encourage us and have a way through this man and woman of God. As you stand up and whatever you want to share in your heart, give us your name, who invited you out, because if this is your first time here, we'll get all that out the way in the preliminaries. So I welcome you guys. Come on, y'all stand up and
my name is De'Aaron Whitehead. These are my parents. I came up with a lot of excuses this morning in my mind not to come. I ain't been to church, in a church, since before COVID hit. They raised me in the church every Sunday all week. I don't know how you, well, I do know how. You answered a prayer. I've been praying for God to make it specifically clear to me what I need. And it felt like he wasn't hearing me, as you were saying. Then I've been in a lot of churches. I've never got picked on or picked out of a church congregation to get what you gave me just now. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He just made it clear. Now I got to sit and wait and pay attention for the next steps, but he just made the first step clear. As clear as it's going to get.
First step is clear.
My name is Tara. I was raised in the church as well. We were invited by Mr. and Mrs. Whitehead a while ago. I needed to hear that, and I was raised in the church too, and I do have a relationship, and I have been, everything that you said was, it was clear, because I already know, and it's like, what you scared of, or what, you know, it was confirmation. I hadn't been to church either. Last Sunday, I went to visit a different church. And it was fine. It was a refreshing for me because I hadn't been in the church either. And it's just like even the smell of a church. So this morning, well, last night, he kept saying we was going to church. So I made sure I kept saying something. So I'm like, well, what church are we going to? I kept saying, we should go visit your mom in them church. But he got up and it just felt right. Everything felt right. And we thought we was we late? I don't know. We got here. We thought it started at 10:30. But when the message started, when you start giving the message when we got here, I was like, we made it right on time. So I just thank God that I made it, that we made it, that we woke up this morning, that we got breath, and just pray for me. Pray for us, our kids, our family. And I want to say hi to Ms. Mars over there. I do know somebody. So, Yeah, I feel good. I feel good. I do. I feel some relief. And I just know I gotta keep pushing. I gotta keep pushing because it's that worship. That's it.
Yeah.
So I think we both encourage each other, you know, in different ways. It's a lot. I don't know, but I mean, I know. I just thank God. I'm feel so good on the inside.
Amen. I appreciate you all for sharing because it was necessary for what God is doing, because we have to understand that the prophetic gifting and different callings, and when there are things that are confirmation, people need to know so that they can trust the prophetic, because there's been so many things that have come up prophetically that have been abused. So we have to just bring the clarity and the structure. Oh, Brother Chance, I got a seat up here, Brother Chance. And so we just believe God, and I appreciate you all for being here. Thank God for Minister Ted and Prophet Victoria for inviting them out, and that God chose for you to come in on this day at this time, because God's time and He knows it, you know. And that's like I said, they've been planting the seed. They invited them a long time ago, but God knows the time when they need to come.
Amen.
And you know, hey, we thank God for that. I'm full. I appreciate it that everything was blessed today.
Amen.
And God is encouraging His people.
Amen.
And I'm just in great expectation for what God has in store for each and every one of us. Amen. Because God is faithful.
Yes, He is.
He is so good to us. In spite of whatever may be going on, whatever challenges, whatever things, God is good.
Yes.
And He keeps on showing up.
Amen.
Keeps on making a way.
Yes.
Keeps on making a way. So I'm just grateful and thankful. So I appreciate you all. You all are more than welcome anytime to come back and visit and fellowship. Thank you for your time. And anything else that I may have missed? Pastor Nees? Amen. Go ahead, Brother Vincent.
Tell your son is doing.
Amen. Come on, Vincent. You want me to say you want his mama to tell you? His mama, you know, she's
that's my baby.
I appreciate that, Brother Vince. Joshua's doing well. We actually went to see him last week. This was the second game that we went to for the home game. So he's opening up now more as far as me, you know, building friendships. Met a couple of more different friends. We met the first time when we went down. He likes his you know, the classes. He likes the school. He likes the sports program because he's a preferred walk-on. He's not playing right now, but in this D1 thing, that I didn't have no clue about the differences, 1, 2, 3, and all that. They come in and develop these players, and you know, until they're ready and prepared to get into those games. So I understand the process a little bit more now, and I'm appreciative of the journey that he has to take. And we learn from other parents that are in that journey, and some of them in their second year, they start off just where Josh is at, just wearing a jersey on the sideline during the game, and now they're suited up, and some of them are now traveling on, you know, when they go away. And so it's like steps in progress. So he's doing well, and it's good. And I appreciate you, Brother Vince, for asking, and because that guy is, there's some favor on his life.
Amen.
That is just, it's amazing.
Amen.
Because he'll speak some stuff, and stuff start happening. People still zailing him money that, you know, just are out the blue and cash apping him. But I'm waiting to the end of the year to share his testimony. He'll probably be here to share it himself, you know, because they'll be on break of how God just blessed him in his giving. Because I'm telling you, it's a blessing that you can be 18 years old and have a mind that, you know what, I ain't working now, but I'm still going to give. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Nees, you want to add anything? Yes, you do. Go ahead.
And it's just a blessing just to see them, just, you know, even just all of our children. Now you got me up talking. I wasn't going to say anything.
It's well.
It's a blessing to go down and see him. You know, sometimes you have to lay eyes on your children and make sure they okay. You know, just hearing them is something different. But I thank God for the seed that was planted in him at a young age. of Christ and him even finding, you know, Christian organizations to be a part of, finding somebody else who was raised in the church and, you know, they hang out together. So those things warm my spirit. But I'm even grateful for what God is doing even in my other children's life, even Jonas this week. The Lord blessed him. And I just believe in God that God will, and I want to encourage you parents that you continue to pray. It's some things that I hold up before the Lord, and I hold on to the word like God is going to manifest. I see it is going to happen. But I was talking to my oldest son this week, and he was kind of discouraged. He was like, you know, I tell my husband, you know, when he gonna need something from us, you know, you hear from him all the time. But when he, you know, balling out of control, got money, you don't hear him. But when he low, you gonna hear from him. And I said, okay, it's getting close to rent time. You know, he calling every day. So he gonna want us to help him with some rent. But he was like, you know, I need some new clothes. I'm trying to work, you know, to pay rent. And I'm doing this. And I said, it's well. I said, and, you know, I got to pay my bill. I said, we don't pay the bill. It's going to be well. And, you know, he was just going on and on. And I said, Jonas, it's well. I said, believe God. Just speak it out. It's going to manifest. And he was like, well, I filled out for this grant, and I don't know when I'm going to hear from him. I said, well, wait until next week. And if you don't hear, reach out. Let me tell you, later that day, he got the news that he got the grant to pay his bill in full. Do you hear me? And I said, God, you did that just to show him why you're trying to worry things and worry about things. God is yet faithful, and he is yet going to meet the need. And I'm telling you, I'm so grateful that I'm going to see God do some things in my children's life. And my assignment is to keep praying. It's just to keep praying. I don't care how it looks. I'm just going to keep praying and watch God do it. Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, it's a blessing, and we thank God for it. And it's people, and those of you all who have young adult children and even have children, it's just a whole other dispensation from what we were, you know, raised in. And so there's so many different things that they can be involved and get into that's negative. And so when they're doing something that's positive and trying to stay on the right path, we just got to try to encourage them and move them forward in the right direction. And so I'm grateful for that. Thank God that our children adopted, they have a work ethic. Amen. You know, hey, when they turn 16, you got to get a job.
Right.
You know, so hey, they work and they do what they need to do. And like I said, Jonas works, goes to school, does what he need to do. He comes up a little short, we help him out, but he's been maintaining. He pays his own cell phone bill, he pays his light bill, he has to pay his rent, and he do all that with a part-time job. So God is faithful and he is good. Amen. So just know that, hey, God is able and he'll do it. Amen. So just keep encouraging them, keep raising them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and we just put them in God's hand. They ain't perfect. They got some stuff we got to work on, and we all have stuff we have to work on. And we have to just be patient and let God have his perfect work.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to sow the seed. Cameron, come on up and get this, man. Brother Cameron you're a sophomore now, right? It's all good, man. Appreciate you. That's Brother Cameron, Cam for short, and Brother Jesse and Sister Shantae's son. But he's a sophomore at Fenwick, right? Fenwick High School. It's a private school, and he's on the basketball team. So just keep him up in prayer, and that God continue to do blessed things in your life. So bless your seed, man. God bless you. Let's stand our feet. Come on, Prophet Karen, you can dismiss us.
Amen. Father God, we thank you for this day. Father God, we thank you for the word that went forth this morning, Father God. And Lord, let us be true worshipers, Father God, so that you can find us, Father. Because we want to be found by you, Father God. And Lord, as we go through this week, God, you be with us, Father God. You be with us, order our footsteps, and keep us on the right track, Father God. And let our minds stay on you, Father God. And let us remember this word throughout the week, Father God. And let us go back and study it, Father God, so that it can be a part of our life. So worship can be a part of us, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. So keep us safe. And as we go, Father God, watch over us, protect us, and we bless your name, and we forever give you the honor, and we will forever give you the praise. And it's in Jesus' name, amen.